Well, let's open our Bibles today to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verses 2 and 3. 2 and 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. I'll wait for you to get there, and you can follow along in whatever version that you have. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Some translation says, given everyone a measure of faith. Some, the Godby says, imparted to each one the measure of faith. So, we have faith. If you're saved, Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved," and what? "That not of yourself." It is what? It is the gift of God. So this salvation that we have is a gift of God. When we received Christ, we were all given a measure of faith. Well, we had to have a measure of faith to get saved, because you had to hear the gospel. And then your faith arose and you accepted Christ. So this says here that we have faith. So that this word prove, when it talks about that you may prove, this word prove means to examine and to test. You know, sometimes, you know how we are with food. You look at it and you go, let me test it first. To see if it's good, right? Some of you all, you know what I'm talking about. You have done that. You know, if somebody throws a plate of food in front of you and you go, let me test that first. And then you say, it's good, right? Or you go, give it to Mikey. Give it to the dog. No, I'm not saying your food is like that, but you know what my point is, we test, we examine, we scrutinize something, or it says we test. In this case here, it means to test the truth of, or the genuineness of something, right? So we're testing and proving the word of God, which is what James says, that to just have faith and not act on it is dead. So you have to test the word of God. You have to prove it for yourself. So this says here that we've been given a measure of faith, and that we're not to copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. This is the new living. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, right there, now I know we're talking, I've been talking about that, you know, right and wrong thinking, but even here, you can have some wrong thinking concerning how the world thinks, concerning sickness and disease. Our thinking can be off. And this says here that God will transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So you could say, when we get changed or transformed in our thinking, we could be changed from thinking I'm sickly to I'm healed. I could be changed in that kind of thinking, or thinking about, you know, how the world thinks about certain things. You know how they think, oh, you know, when you get older, you know, you just move slower, you think slower, you just getting old, honey. No, I don't think Joshua and Caleb said that, did they? No, they did not. They said, I'm as good a man as I am as I was when I was in my 40s, 40 years ago. So the world's thinking is corrupted and influenced by the God of this world. It's not influenced by godly thoughts. So this good gift that we have is from God. Now let's take a look. I want us to take a look a moment at Hebrews chapter 11. And this transformation comes about by what? Renewing our minds, thinking on God's thoughts. What does he say about healing? What does he say about this topic and this good gift that we have? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is what? The substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, if you're believing for healing, would that be something not seen? And to have faith for something, it says, now faith is the substance, or the Amplified says the title deed of something, then that says something hoped for. And of course, we talked about this before. Faith is has no substance. Faith doesn't have substance. So faith is a desire. Faith can't get something. Faith is something you desire, but hope is something you desire, but faith gives substance to something you hope for, something you desire. So faith comes from what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hope has no substance. The Berkeley translation says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Or I've heard some say, hope rests upon this solid ground. My hope, my expectation rests upon my faith. That's the ground that my hope rests upon. I'm convinced that I have it. Something that I desire, something that I'm expecting. The Knox translation, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hope. I like this. This is the Knox translation. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. So faith convinces us of things we can't see. Faith gives substance to something that we hope for. Fenton, it says, the Fenton translation says it's a conviction of unseen facts. I'm convinced of something I can't see. This is something that we all have. See, we have a measure of faith. So that I have a measure of the God kind of faith in me already because I got saved. I've been given a measure of that God kind of faith, that kind of faith which is convinced of something that I can't see. I have that already. How is that developed? You've got to prove it. You've got to test and examine the word of God. You can't just look at it and say, I hope so. Hope doesn't give substance to that. Hope has no substance. Faith does. The God kind of faith gives substance to something that you desire or hope for. God's word translation, it says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I'm sure every one of us have walked through something in our life, whether it's physical. I know we're talking about physical healing here. Could have been financial. It could have been some other situation that maybe you were walking through, and faith convinced you of something you couldn't see. You were expecting it, and faith gave you that assurance, that confidence, I've got it. I know I have it. And you didn't see it. And maybe you had to walk for a while. Maybe you had to, as they say, be believing. And so, Brother Hagin talked about this. God spoke to me in my earlier years that if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, that's exactly the way he said it to me. He said, if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. And Brother Hagin said, he was working the word in the area of healing. He was getting results. He was proving the word of God, but he wasn't in the area of finances. And he said, they were broke. They were hurting. And he said it was finally until he started to seek God and pray and say, God, you told me to go out on the field ministry, to leave the church as a pastor and go out on the field ministry. He said, I'm doing worse than I was as a pastor. It is not right. He said, my bills aren't being paid. My family needs aren't being met. We're struggling. I got 4 ball tires on the car. I was a mess. And he said, the Lord told him, he said, you work the word the same way you work the word in the area of healing. Same, almost the same thing he told me. And I never read his account. I was just wondering why, with all of my tithing and giving, I wasn't seeing the results. It's because I wasn't proving the word of God. I was, as Larry Hutton said, I was a dropper. I dropped my offering in. I thanked the Lord, blessed the Lord, but I wasn't expecting this expectation, and I wasn't speaking over my seed the same way I was speaking over my body. I wasn't doing that. So, consequently, what did Brother Hagin used to say? He said, set your expectations high. I'd rather set them high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. If you don't set your expectation to something, you'll get everything, which is nothing. You'll get something, all right. So this conviction, this faith, the Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see. What's the proof? My faith is the proof, the title deed that I have it. I got it. God promised it. So it's mine. And I have to take hold of that and confess it. Weymouth translation. Now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. We're talking about things that we don't see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Actually, back up to verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, say light affliction, is what? Forever. Now it says, but for a moment. That's how God sees it. It's but for a moment. Working for us a far greater, far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do what? We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So if we can see it with our eyes, it can change. If we can see something with our eyes, whatever that is, it'll change. It's temporal. If you're going through something tough, it'll change. It can change. It's temporal. Every one of us have walked through some tough stuff. Did it last forever? No. It's temporal. You may be still going through it. Hallelujah. Shout, it's temporal. It's temporal. It's going to change. It's going to change. Because otherwise, if it doesn't change, then God's word is not true. See? He said, I'm the way, what? The truth and the life. His word is true. His word is forever settled in heaven. If he said, things I see are temporal, but the things we don't see are eternal, then that's settled. That's the way it is. Let's look at Mark 11. Let's go over to Mark 11, 24. Let's take a look at this. We can look at 22, 23, and 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, he's talking to Peter and some of the disciples. He said here, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or some say, my margin says, have the faith of God. More accurate rendering would be have the God kind of faith, would be more accurate. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I like the Weiss translation. It says, be believing that you received them, and they shall be yours. That's the Weiss translation. Be believing. The Moffat says, believe you've got it, and you shall have it. Good News translation, it says, when you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it. When do we believe we've received it? When we pray, we believe that we have it. We've received it. And it's what? Something that I don't see yet, is it? Let's look at the Matthew 21. Let's, the same rendering, but let's look at Matthew 21 and verse 22. We don't need to read 21, but we'll read 22. It says, and all things, see, it says over in Mark 11, 24, whatsoever you desire when you pray, right? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. The Amplified says, whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. So how many things will you receive? This says here, all things, all things. So my question is, could all things include healing?
Yes.
Absolutely. And if it didn't include healing, he would have said all things but, or all things except this. He would have said, but he said all things, he didn't qualify it. He said all things. So all things includes healing. So I want to take a little, as I call a little side journey here for a minute. Let's take a look at, if he said all things, let's take a look at Acts 10:38. Let's just take a moment, take a little side venture here for a moment. Acts 10:38. If all things mean all things, then the question would be, is it for all? So here he said, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and doing what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. John 6:38. Let's go over there and take a quick look. Just back up a little bit. John 6:38. Said, who anointed Jesus of Nazareth? Said, the Holy God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost. So God anointed him with the Holy Ghost. Look at John 6:38. It says, for I came down from heaven, what? Not to do my own will, but what? The will of him that sent me. Whose will is this? God's will. It's God's will to heal us. Not just heal some, heal all. It's God's will. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all. Healing all. Isn't that good news? It's God's will to heal all, not some, all of everything. Because he said here, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Now let's take a look at James. Let's go over there for a moment. James. James chapter 5. And let's look at verses 14 through 16. So we know that Jesus went about healing the sick, he prayed for the sick, and he healed all. Now here, verse 14 of chapter 5 of James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, that's the sick, call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to focus here. We know that Jesus went about praying and healing the sick, and we know that God anointed him. But now here, look at this. Isn't this an interesting point here? It says, confess your faults one to another, and what? Pray for one another. Pray for one another. So when he said, what things soever you desire, what? When you pray, believe that you what? You receive them and you shall have them. Well, look here. He said here, pray one for another that you what? You may be healed. Well, let me ask you something. God wouldn't have us pray for something that wasn't good. That's just as simple as it gets. He wouldn't have us pray for something that wasn't good. Amen. God is good. Amen. I'm going somewhere here with this a little bit. So what is a good gift? Some of you may already know that answer, but let's take a look. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. God is good. And he has good gifts for us. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7. And let's take a look at verse 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that do what? Ask him. So if we ask him, he gives good gifts. Healing is a good gift. And it's good, and it's available to us. Let's take another look. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. Let's go over here again. So we know what we can see here. God gives good gifts. He anointed what? Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. He was doing good. James chapter 1. Familiar scripture verse. Verse 17. It says what? Every good gift is what? And every perfect gift is where? From above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variableness, neither shadow of turning. Boy, you could close right here. That's it. That to me settles it. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from heaven. It's from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variableness. No variableness means he doesn't change. Scripture says that. I change not. He doesn't change. Neither shadow of turning. He doesn't turn. He doesn't change. We go through the scriptures when he said, I will heal you. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I will is still the same response today. If you ask, he says, I will. Be believing that you've received. Be believing that you've received. Be believing that the healing power of God is working in your body. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That word life is zoe. That means that healing power is working in me. When I touch is what we were talking about in other lessons. That when I touch things with my mind, when I touch God's divine thoughts, I touch him. I'm touching him. I'm touching what he inspired. What does the scripture say? It says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. This word, his thoughts, are full of power. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the scriptures, we're not to do what? Cast away our confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. Luke 1:37, familiar scripture. It says, for with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. Or some of the other translations, the New Living says, the word of God will never fail. No word from God shall be void of power. So when he says he went about healing the sick, healing all who were brought to him, that's the same today. That's the same today. We have to have our minds transformed, renewed to the word of God and not be what? Conformed. Thinking like the world thinks. Thinking that my body's, you know, yes, the scripture does say the outward man perished, but the inward man is renewed day by day. It does say that. We're not going to live eternally. This body is decaying. It is getting older. But that doesn't mean it's getting sicker. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It just means that there's, yes, death worketh in this body, but that does not mean I should be able to just and believe to do just exactly what the Old Testament believers did. They just curled up in the bed and gave up the ghost. That's how they should go. That means they should just go to sleep and leave their bodies. not sick or diseased. Amen. So, looking at this, our thinking, you know, I guess I'm focusing on this a little bit, that our thinking is going to move from questioning the Word of God. You know, that's why it's so important to know His voice, because when things happen, you're bombarded. Think about this. You're bombarded. Your soul makes contact. I say it that way. Your spirit man is contacted by God, or you can say touched by God or influenced by God. God is a spirit, and He does what? He speaks to your spirit. You are a spirit. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Your soul, you have a soul, and it is touched, it's influenced by this natural realm, what we see, what we hear. So our soul touches, you could say, this intellectual realm. And so we're influenced by how the world thinks all the time. And if we're not careful, you know, that's why sometimes I just almost refuse to turn the TV on or watch it, because it's constant with advertisements with take this pill, take this pill, take this pill, take this pill. And you almost get bombarded with this thinking that that's what I have to do when I get sick. And I am certainly not telling anybody not to do that, but you need to seek God first. Get His input, get His wisdom on what to do. If you need to go to the doctor, go, but don't be railroaded into doing things. You understand what I mean by that term? Don't be pressured to do things. And they certainly will do that. They will pressure you to do things. And I'm not saying you shouldn't obey or follow their advice, but people are limited. God knows things about you and your body. He may tell you to do something that, you know, you didn't think of. He may tell you to go get another opinion. I remember, that's why it's important to follow your spirit. If you don't have peace about something, put it down. Hold up. Don't be pushed. If you don't have peace about something, if it doesn't feel peaceful, don't follow it. Don't yield to it. I remember my stomach, this is, how many years ago with this? This is 18 years ago. I abused some things in my diet, and I was just, you know, just working here hard as you could go. And I was drinking a lot of coffee and, as they say, eating wingdings and bagels and junk. And I wasn't eating right as best as I should. And so my stomach got into a turmoil. You know, it was having a fight down there. It was a mess. And so, anyways, I remember I remember one night I stayed home. I just decided I'm going to stay home for a couple weeks and give this a, you know, I went to the emergency room. And this doctor, you know, they gave me something to take in my stomach to settle it. I was willing to take it. I didn't get a check not to. I was in pain. And actually, I was in pain for about a year. And I was still singing, which was remarkable in itself. But so anyways, I remember I went to see this specialist. He was the top specialist in the hospital. So I went to see him, and he started giving me some diagnosis. He didn't even check me. He hadn't run any tests. He hadn't done anything. And he's speaking these words over me. And this is what I thought. You're an idiot. That's exactly what I thought. I said, you're an idiot. You didn't run any tests. You didn't even poke my stomach. You did nothing. And then they're speaking all of these things over my body, saying, you know, this and that and the other thing. And then I left and he never told me what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat, nothing. And I never went back. I did. I just said, you know, as Arnold Schwarzenegger says, he says, hasta la vista, baby. I never went back. I didn't. I just said, that is a first class person that I'm not going back to. I'm not following their instructions. So I went and I left. And then I remember I didn't have peace. It just didn't feel right down here. And I remember, you know, because I was, you know, working, you know, principally in the ministry, I called the pastors and I, you know, shared with, I just happened to speak with Pastor Sarah, and she said, why don't you think about going to this person? And I did, and the minute I met this person, peace. And this person approached it from a nutritional standpoint. Not to say that was the way to go, but it was the right way to go for me. It was the right way. The other wasn't the right way. This was the right way. And he said, I'll have your stomach turned around in a week. And I'm thinking, really? That caught my attention. He's speaking now words of faith. He's speaking positive over me. And then I must have looked, you know, like this. I'm blinking. And he said, this is what he said to me. He said, you know how many of these I've done in my life? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, over 7,000. Well, he had my attention that I've helped that many with these kind of issues. He was an older person. And I'm telling you, within 1 week, he had my stomach calming down. 2 weeks, it turned around. 6 months, it was as if I never had it. And when I went back to him, I remember, you know, it was a couple of months afterwards, and he said, you're about, you know, after 2 weeks, he said, you're 90% there. He could feel my stomach. He could feel and hear that it was like a rock. That's how in turmoil it was. And it was now soft and pliable. And he said, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you had gone one more week, they would have opened your stomach up. And that's what the Lord spoke to me when I was on vacation. I was with my family, and I came back, and I was in the shower, and I was standing in the shower. I remember like yesterday, I'm standing in the shower, just standing under the shower head. And I heard in my spirit, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That's what he said to me. Now, I could have obeyed, and I did. And if I hadn't, I'd have been dead. I'd have been dead. I know it. And when he told me they had opened your stomach up, I knew right there, that was it. That was it. You'd have died. Something would have gone wrong, or it'd have been a slide downhill. And see, that's what I'm talking about. When you don't have peace, when you don't have peace with something and you're being pushed into doing something, you better pray about it. You better have the peace of God, because every good and perfect gift is from above. That means even the counsel that you get from doctors. God may lead you that way. He may lead you to go that path. But you trust and believe God that the people that are touching you and giving you counsel is being influenced by God. And it's right for you. You better. So, you know, I say all of that to say that, you know, God had directed me those steps. They were very tenuous at that time. And you know, I was listening. But I can tell you, he doesn't always speak to us. He speaks to us. I heard his voice down here to go get my stomach checked or I'd die. But he didn't speak to me about which doctor to go to. He led me by his inward witness. It didn't feel right, so I didn't go back. Never called him. Just said, see ya. And I never went back. But I went to the one that I just had this peace. It was so velvety peaceful. And I said, this is it. And I continued. And I got the results. The results were so, right? So it's so important that you not only believe and trust God, but that you're led by him in these processes. of walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is something that we're led by. It says we what? We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So you're not moved. You know, something I wrote down, why would you consult what you see or feel or hear? Why would you consult that to substantiate what you're convinced of? What for? You're convinced. So why do I need to consult my feelings? Why do I need to consult? What do you think about that? I'll tell you what I think about it. I'm healed. So I don't need to consult my five physical senses to confirm what I believe, because I'm convinced of it. Faith is convinced of something. So I don't need to wonder whether I see this or I don't see this. I hear this or I don't hear. Doesn't matter. I'm convinced of it. Right? And sometimes, and the only reason I say I'm taking just a moment to touch on this is that sometimes people, I'll say it this way, get in the ditch and are being prompted to do something, but they're going to stand in faith. And I'm believing I'm healed. I'm believing I'm healed. And God might be prompting them to do something. Go make this change. Do this. And you're like, I'm sticking here. See? I believe that I receive. I'm not questioning that you didn't believe. But don't override the leading. Don't override your stand of faith by ignoring the leading of the Spirit of God. The Spirit and the Word will agree. You believe, you stand in faith, but let Him direct you and lead you, because God is the one. See, sometimes we're standing thinking it's going to come about this way. I'm standing and I believe God, right? You're not the one that needs to fulfill it. You're the one to do what? Believe that you've received. He's the one that will bring it to pass. What does the scripture say in Jeremiah? I watch over my word to do what? To perform it. He's the one that will lead us to cause that which you're confessing and believing for to be fulfilled. So He may lead you differently than me. He may tell you totally different instructions than me. You believe the word of God. You believe that you're healed. You believe that the healing power of God is working in you, and it is. But there may be something you don't know about you that He may be saying, go do this or go do that. He may. I'm not saying He will. But don't ignore the promptings of the Spirit of God. Those that are the children of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. We are led by His Spirit. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What is that? His Word. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. So, faith, let's just take a look here. We've established this, that faith is the substance of something hoped for. It's the conviction of something that we desire. And we've seen that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. He's a good God. He gives good gifts. And so we believe that, you know, you want to constantly remove this thought, well, maybe it's not for me. Maybe healing is not God's will for me. You need to move that out of your thinking, because that's not in God's thoughts. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. He wouldn't let us believe and receive something if it wasn't available for us. right? So if healing is available, then I can believe for it and receive it. So let's take a look at James. We're there. We were in James. Let's take a look at James chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, or you could say corresponding action. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, or you could say faith without an action, is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, not faith, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, without an action, is dead also. Or you could say faith without saying. The first action that you would have would be saying something that you believe, something you're convinced of, something that you desire, something that you are absolutely convinced of. How do we become convinced of something? By spending time meditating in the Word of God. And we've got scripture after scripture that share that. So to act in faith that we have, we're going to have to meditate, be transformed in our thinking. This is an area where I'm convinced that the more we listen to material teaching, the more we read, the more we touch divine things, that light enters in. Light enters in and changes our thinking, so that we become, our thoughts become like God. Our thoughts become His thoughts. And now we see things like He sees them. We begin to view our bodies like He views them. They're healed. They're not only just healed, they're strong. They're well. And I would say this, if we don't see something changing in our bodies, we need to ask the question, what, why? What, where did I miss it? Because God's word cannot fail. It cannot fail. So if there's something that's not changing in my body, then I need to find out why. Where did I miss it? If I believed God and I don't see some change happening, I need to ask some questions. Did I miss it? Maybe I didn't miss it. But I think it's fair to ask, Lord, did I miss it somewhere? I believe I haven't, but did I? Be open to be led. Be open. He may show you something. He may not. But keep be believing. That's what the Weiss translation says. Be believing that you've received. What does that mean? I believe I've received, and every time I think about it, I'm saying something. I was watching the Living Faith Crusade last night, and I liked, you know, Pastor Hagen had Miss Lynette come up and share something about, you know, something that they believed for 10 years, or were believing to be paid off. It was the ministry jet that they have that they use to get around to all of the schools internationally and so forth. And they, you know, she said God had to do a work on her because she said she believed it was paid off. See, sometimes we think it needs to be executed or fulfilled a certain way. It has to come about a certain way. And this is all she was sharing. She said that they would confess, they both of them, they said every time they prayed over their meal, they would say, "Thank you, Lord, the plane has paid off." And every time, before they got up in the morning, before they said every chance, they would say, "Thank you, Lord, the plane has paid off." And they're doing this for 10 years. And so finally, you know, she said she was at a meeting somewhere and one of the accountants or one of the persons in the office called and shared with her, you know, "This is going to be the last payment on the jet. It'll be paid for." You know, woohoo, right? And she said, "I had to ask God, you know, did I miss it somewhere?" She's thinking it had to be done a certain way. And that's the same way, whether it's your finances, it could be the same way where your healing's concerned. Stop trying to figure out how it's going to come to pass, or it's got to be this way or this way, and maybe because it's not happening the way I think, it's not working. Like she said, yes, it was. And she said, we confessed and released our faith, and the Lord, she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, were you ever lacking? He said, no, sir, we weren't. Did you ever miss a payment? No, we did not. Was there always money there to pay it? Yes, there was. He said this to her, because if you hadn't confessed, if you hadn't released your faith, the money wouldn't have been there. And so that's the point. Be believing that you've received. Be believing that you've received it and the healing power is working in you, and be led. The healing power is working. When you believe you've received, it is working. You can't feel it. What do we say? What did Jesus say? You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can't see the healing power, but you can certainly see the effects of it. So I would just encourage us all, if you've slacked off or if you've let go or you've loosened up a little bit on this particular area, I know we're talking about healing, but if you loosened up some other way, hook back up. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I slacked off a little bit." Be believing. Believe you've received and that it's working in you. Believe you've received the healing power of God and it's working, affecting a healing and a cure in your body. I mean, I think it's a marvelous testimony that Mrs. Hagen shared when she said she fell on her tailbone and was in so much excruciating pain, and basically the doctors gave her whatever kind of pain medication. She said it didn't do anything. She stopped taking it. She said it was excruciating. And she said, Pastor Hagen said to her, "Honey, you say, I believe that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in me." And she said, "I say it and 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 say it hundreds of times a day through the pain." And she said, after a few months, it began to ease up. And then it went away. And the doctors told her, "Sorry, you have to live with it." How are you going to live with that? You're not going to live with that. But she got the results. See? Be believing. Hold steadfast to your faith. Don't let go of this confidence, for it hath what? Great recompense of reward. Be not weary in well-doing. You shall reap if you faint not. Hold steady. Don't let the devil steal from you. Don't let him put these thoughts in your mind, it ain't working. Yes, it is. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working in our bodies. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that the healing power, the healing virtue of God is working in our bodies, affecting a healing and a cure, strengthening our bodies, renewing our strength. We thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and is quickening these mortal bodies. We thank you that our strength is being renewed like the eagles. And we thank you, Father, that as you lead us and guide us, we thank you that we will walk in renewed health, renewed vigor. And we thank you that these things that seemingly sometimes hang onto our bodies are broken in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for what you've purchased for us. And we thank you, Father, and we walk in it. And we thank you that we shall be a light unto this world. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm convinced that before Jesus returns, we're going to walk in a glory, we're going to walk in a renewed health, we're going to walk in a divine health, that the world is going to say, I want what you have. I want that. I want that. Just like the two blind men that screamed, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And people walked by the shadow of Paul and were healed. And so I think that I honestly believe in my heart, we're going to see that. We're going to see the day that hospitals are emptied out because the glory of God is going to fall. People are going to walk out of the hospitals. Look, doctors are doing the best they can. They say they got their little tool chest. They're trying to help. So let's not try to be ornery with the doctors. They're doing the best they can. But we've got a greater source. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.